in the three ways that God blesses us at Christmas time. Last week was God's Christmas plan. This week, God's Christmas peace. His Christmas peace. Let's begin with answering this question. Discuss this question with those around you. Many people say Christmas is a holiday for children. And as a Christian adult, however, what about Christmas makes it truly important to you? Discuss that question. What makes Christmas truly important to you? Let's come back together. Christmas, children really enjoy Christmas, as we all have been there, enjoying Christmas as kids. But as adults, what about Christmas is really, makes Christmas important to you? Any thoughts? What did you share? Yes. The joy, the kindness, the goodness that comes, pours out from other people. Good, thank you. Others?
Giving to others.
Enjoy the joy of and the fun of giving. Yeah, that's great. Anything else? Family time. Yeah, cherishing some family time. Mm-hmm. Yes, Chrissy? Yeah. Right. Yep. So Chrissy was relating how that when you take everything down after Christmas is over, to be remember that in Christ, Christmas is never over. Right? It carries on throughout the year. The giving, the joy of giving, the joy of receiving, sharing good things with others, family time, all that continues on. It's still important to all of us. That's right. Perhaps there's no time in the year than Christmas when we reflect on our own lives, the good, the bad, as well as our hopes and dreams for the coming year. We listen to people like... who's this guy? Burl Ives. Yeah. Bing Crosby. Who's that? Andy Williams. Who doesn't associate Christmas with Andy Williams? That's right. Yeah. And we watch maybe as families or at least our children Christmas stories like Frosty, Rudolph, Charlie Brown's Christmas, yeah. Along with the classic favorite, It's a Wonderful Life, yes, that's right. We envision peace in our lives. One picture of peace in my mind is sitting in front of a fireplace, not a fire, but a fireplace. the house we had in Elgin had a fireplace, and it was fun just late at night, to sit there in front of it with my family and, you know, just stare at the fire. Isn't it how funny how a fire is just mesmerizing? You just sit there and stare at that thing all night long. Nobody's talking, but everybody's connected somehow. And it's just a great thing with the fire. Sitting there with my flavored coffee remembering Christmases past, our kids and us, we like to talk about Christmases past and things that we've done, the traditions we've built over the years. It's just a great time. We thank God for his many blessings. What did the angels mean, however, 2,000 years ago when they sang that Jesus' birth meant peace on earth and goodwill to men? The NIV of Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 14, is the most familiar version, which reads, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men with whom his favor rests." Is this just a wishful saying, peace on earth, goodwill to men? Can it be a reality of Christmas? The English Standard Version, I think, gives a more accurate translation and a clue if real and lasting peace can be a reality for you. This version says it this way: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Puts a little different spin to it, a little different idea, a little more clarity. Let me ask you today, is God pleased with you? The point of today's message is this. In Christ, there are two kinds of peace, powerful and preserving peace. This peace brings a knowing confidence and a calm faith, even during the hardest moments of life. So this first kind of peace, and if you're following along in the sermon outline, take it out of your bulletin and follow along, write some notes. The first kind of peace is a peace treaty with God. 1 Peter 3:18. By the way, the page numbers in your bulletin are the page numbers of the in the Pew Bible in front of you. If you didn't bring a Bible with you or want to follow along, the page numbers will direct you to the verses I'm going to be sharing today. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Speaks of the peace treaty with God. It says this, for Christ died for sins once for all. Everybody say that with me. Once for all. It's finished. It's done. There's no more to do in preserving or in presenting salvation to you. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. To bring you to God. The purpose of Christ was to bring you to God. That's why he came. It's what Christmas is all about. Do you know for sure? Do you know 100% certainty that you're saved today? I've asked that question of people over the years and get a variety of answers, anything from 35 to 85%. That's how saved I am. It's hard for people for some reason to share, I'm 100% saved. What percent would you answer today? Truly. In your own mind. Too often we think of this, you guys, here it is. I've done something bad, so I'm not a saved now. We do the math. You know, if we could put sin in percentile, oh, that was a 15% sin, so now I'm only 85% saved. But we kind of think that way. And salvation's not an up and down and very tentative place to live. No, salvation in Christ is permanent. Salvation in Christ is a place of confidence in him. The account of Christ's birth reminds us that God's plan before creation, think about this, before creation, his plan was to write a peace treaty between you and him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. The unique thing about this peace treaty is that God provided everything needed for the treaty to exist. Not you. You didn't have to provide anything. Well, except in showing up and accept the gift. God provided everything for this peace treaty to become a reality between you and him. What did God provide? He provided Jesus Christ, the ultimate peace treaty. Jesus is your creator, according to Colossians chapter 1, and placed himself under you. Think about this. God is your creator. He's your authority. He's your king, and he's your master. And he placed himself under you. He humbled himself. Ephesians chapter 2 says, let me read that for you. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Great passage here. It says this, your attitude, Paul is speaking to the Christians in Philippi. He says, your attitude should be the same that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, he is God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. In other words, something to be to take and use it towards his advantage on earth. Jesus is saying, yes, I'm God, but I'm putting that power away while I'm here on earth with you. Why? Because I want you to know that I'm going to live life and I'm going to experience life, everything that life has to bring in terms of blessings, hurts, curses, troubles, I'm going to experience it all just like you do without the power of God. I'm going to live as a human so that you will know it can be done. So that you will know, I am just like you. You can relate to what I go through. I can relate to what you go through. Ever said, God, do you even understand where I'm at, what this is like? Ever asked that God that question? I'm hurting. I'm troubled. I'm scared. Do you know what this is like? Hebrews 4 says that God has, or Christ has experienced every temptation. Excuse me, 1 Corinthians. Every temptation that we have experienced, yet he was without sin. Hebrews 4 says, because he has done that, we can approach him with confidence. Hebrews 4:16. We can approach him, listen to this, with confidence. What kind of confidence are we talking about? Confidence that he understands, that you can come to him, Lord, I just gave in to this temptation. I'm so mad at myself. And you're thinking he's going to say, how many times do I have to tell you? And he's not thinking that at all. You know what he really is thinking? 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 tells you, he is standing, if you will, in the courtroom of heaven and saying to Satan, no, you don't win this one. The God, the judge on the bench, he's already declared Delbert clean. And he reminds you that he's still for you. Oh, Merry Christmas. Yeah, amen. Merry Christmas. And being found in, verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Do you know that he died not just as an innocent man? He died tagged with a criminal's judgment. He was innocent, but he died as a criminal. Unfair. Would we say that's unfair? Unfair. But God's love for you isn't about fairness. It's not about, have you ever said, God, that's not fair. This is so hard. That's not fair. Well, I could just see God saying, well, if you want fairness, we'll talk about judgment. And there you'll get fairness. Death for you. That's what's fair. But God's love isn't about fairness. It's about grace and mercy. Amen? You should be clapping on that one. Yeah. God's love is not about fairness. It's about grace and mercy for you. That's why Jesus came. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And at that name, every knee of Jesus, every name should bow, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Jesus understands. He can put himself under you to bless you, to heal you, to build you up. Jesus is the ultimate peace treaty between you and God. That's powerful. That's eternal. The first kind of peace leads you to settle into a confidence that comes from God's word. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Listen to this. You're going to love this one. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore means because of what was written previously, the truth that's already here. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, justified, what does justified mean? It means God is treating you just as if your sins have been paid for, because they have. How good is that? How good is that? Yeah. God is treating you as if your sins have been paid for. I don't know how to better say this, that you can have confidence in your salvation. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, our faith in him, our faith says this, Lord, I agree with you that what Jesus did on the cross fully and completely satisfied your demand that sin and sinners be punished. Jesus satisfied that demand. You know what that means? In relationship with you, Christian, God doesn't have that demand on you anymore. You don't need to be punished for sin. Jesus took that for you. Verse 2, through whom we have gained access by faith into grace in which we now stand. We have access to Jesus by faith through his grace in this grace in which we now stand. It's here. It's not, you don't have to earn it. Wow. This is good stuff. How can you know for sure you are saved? The Bible tells you. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. 1 John 5, 11 through 13. I think I have this one memorized. Check me out. 1 John 5, 11 through 13, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God, relationship, the peace treaty, does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Life. The word know in Greek is gnosko. It means to have a confident knowing, not a maybe knowing, not a 90% knowing, a confident knowing. That you may know you have eternal life. Peace. Christmas peace. But wait, there's more. Confidence in your salvation in Christ opens the door to a new kind of peace that you may not have known was possible. Are you ready? Are you ready? For this new kind of peace? Here it is. Peace in knowing God delights in serving with you. Did you know that? God delights in serving with you. Have you ever thought God truly enjoys working with you in his purpose on earth? For example, Steve Stewart, founder of Impact Nations, he travels all around the world, him and his wife Christina. And they bring the gospel message to many people. He and his wife, Christina, they bring healing to people's bodies so they can bring the message of hope through Christ. They bring healing through healing prayer. This healing that God brings to people's broken bodies is awesome to experience. Have you ever prayed for somebody and they were healed right there? A lot of Christians, I don't think that's possible. Because we pray like this. Oh Lord, I pray for, you put in the name, that you might maybe, if you desire to, sort of will you? We beg, would you be willing to heal this person? That's kind of how we think when we pray for healing. And we think it's all up to God, which it is, and that we somehow have to overcome an unwilling God. Did you catch it? An unwilling God? We have to somehow convince him that this person is worthy of your healing, God. Oh, Lord, this person. And we list a thing of attributes about this person. Oh, they're so good, and they're so loving, and you know, and they pay their tithe, and they like Delbert, and you know, all that kind of stuff. God delights in serving with you. Once someone is healed, Steve will say to that person, and I love this quote, Jesus loves you and he loved healing you. Would you like to know him? Oh, captures my heart. Steve and Christina use healing as a doorway to sharing the gospel with thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people over the last 40 years. This is what they delight in doing in serving God. What do you delight in in serving God. Steve said one time he was working with a large crowd of people in Africa. They go to Africa a lot. He was praying over someone's knee to bring healing through Christ's power. And so envision this. Here's Steve, and he's on stage. Other people have come up, people all around, and he's got his hands on this man's knee, and he's praying for healing. And the thought came to him, Lord, I just so enjoy doing this. And he said, I sense the Lord say to me, eye to eye, I do too. God delights in serving with you. He thinks it's fun. He thinks it's fun. The Lord delights in working with you in ministry. How do we know this is true? Well, for this reason, the Bible calls the church the bride of Christ. Amen. And as the church, you, the bride, have, now catch this, the closest relationship with God in everything he's ever created. You are the closest he has in relationship with all that he has creation, all that he's created. And you are the closest and loveliest to him. How do we know? Turn to Psalm chapter 5, around verse 8. You'll see God says something like this. Psalms 5. Psalms 5, verse 8. Psalm 8, verse 5. Wasn't saying the right thing, was it? Psalm 8. Oh, let me start from the beginning. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Yeah, it's a great song. You know, a lot of our songs come out of the Psalms, and the word psalm means song. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. What is man? Here comes the question. What is man that you are mindful of him? Not male man, but mankind, man. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? Here comes the answer to the question. You've made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. Your Bible might have a little one or an A next to that. If you look down, another version, another possibility is, in this translation, is that God has made you just a little lower than himself. You are the closest relation you will ever have is to God, not to human beings, to God. He created it that way. He made you a little lower than himself and crowned him, he crowned you with glory and honor. Wow. God delights in being with you, in serving with you. God delights in his relationship. And he delights in working with you to accomplish his purpose on earth. So, why should this fact bring us peace? Because many Christians view service to God, I think, as something separate from God. Let me explain. Are you a servant of God? Raise your hand if you're a servant of God. It's true, we are servants of God. Jesus said, however, in John 15:15, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends because everything God has shown to me, I am now showing to you. See, you're no longer just a menial servant who says, Master, what do you want me to do today? And you go off and do it all by yourself. That's not servant in relationship as a Christian. God has called us into serving with Him, with Him, not just for Him. In fact, serving for Him can get in the way of with Him. Right? Especially if you ever have a thought that says, I need to show God I'm really good, so I'm going to work really hard, and I'm going to do more and do more. You know one of the most common questions I get? As a pastor, people come to me and say, Delbert, is there more I can do? I don't think I've done enough. I need to do more. But you look tired to me. Oh, I'm really tired. But I need to do more. Who's telling you? What voice is that coming from that you need to do more? You're exhausted. What are you talking about? You need to do more. What's driving the more? What usually is it? It's a G word. What is it? Guilt is driving me to do more. I haven't done enough. I need to do more. I don't think God loves me enough yet. I've got to show Him I'm really good. Oh, no. Guilt drives us into doing things for God that gets in the way of a relationship with God. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Come on, I need some help here. Remember when Jesus said his yoke was easy and his burden was light? Remember that? You know what makes his yoke that way? It's that way for two reasons. First, it's that way because he is in yoke with you. He is in yoke with you. And that's no yoke. Ah. First, because he's in yoke with you, and second, because he usually has more in store for you to experience with him that'll just blow your mind if you don't unyoke too early. I need a yoke mate. Come here, yoke mate. Who are you? Come here. Come on, yoke mate. Oh, here he is. I know. Okay, I'm Jesus. He's Mark. And in being yoked together as Jesus, Mark, simply by being yoked together, is in tune with Jesus. He's in tune with me. And so we're moving along, and then I say to Mark, not in words, but in action, I say, Mark, I'm going over here. And Mark says, but we were doing that. And I say, no, over here. And Mark says, but we haven't finished this yet. And I say, no, Mark, over here. And because I have something else in store that you didn't know about. It's going to be fun. And you're going to like it. Because that's just Jesus. Think of Jesus having fun. He loves, he delights serving with you. And sometimes the yoke is heavy, sometimes the work is hard, but Jesus always has something in store for you that you didn't quite expect. That's why when we're in service with him, pay attention. Feel the little nudges, because they're little. But you can sense them if you're paying attention. God has something else, something more coming along. Stay yoked. And it's awesome. All right. Thank you, Mark. Mm-hmm. You're a good Mark, Mark. Actually, I'll leave that right here. You can see it. Object lesson. Serving God can be hard at times, but when you're yoked with Jesus, you can sense small course corrections, small nudges that he is working. I heard recently a team of Christians went to a men's prison in Africa. The prison was overcrowded, and can you imagine the sights, sounds, and smells of an overcrowded men's prison? The problems that come with that. The Christian team went to encourage, to pray for healing, and bring the gospel to the inmates. It wasn't a pleasant place to be, but so many men became Christians that day that the warden of the prison said to the leader of the Christians, "I see your God is good, and I will release today 200 men to you." Now, the warden was taken with what God was doing. The team was there to encourage and pray for healing and present the gospel, and a lot of people responded to that. But God had something more in plan. What if the team said, "Okay, we shared the gospel, these people became Christians," and they left? 200 people would not be released from prison. God had something more. Hang tight with God. Stay yoked with Him, because He's always got something more to do in His name. This is the second kind of peace. To know that God delights in working in tandem with you. What is this? Why does this bring peace to us? For this reason: we have an enemy, Satan, who is good at weaseling his way into causing someone, maybe even you. Now, hear this. Hang with me just a little bit more. Satan is good at wanting to weasel into your mind, your work, and to take the focus off the good God is doing or the good God has done. And when you know God delights in serving with you in ministry, you will never again let the good being done be brought under question or doubt. You know why? Because you will say, "No, my God is good. He delights in serving with me, and I delight serving with Him. This was good work. And it still is good work, Satan. Get out of here. You have no authority. Your voice is nothing here, and you should be clapping." This is truth. This is good. Don't ever let Satan get you to doubt the work you were doing. Every Christian, whether an introvert or an extrovert, can delight in doing some kind of work in God's kingdom. And that's the truth. Worship team, come on up. If you haven't found a ministry or a service you delight in doing, we are preparing a list of ministries right now that we'll present at the beginning of the year that will explain the ministries here, how you can be involved, the contacts you can talk to, the people in charge of these ministries. So let's finish with this. Let's recap. Two kinds of peace. Being reconciled to God is peace number one. The peace treaty with God. And the second is knowing that God delights in serving with you. Say that with me. Knowing God delights in serving with you. Now change the "you" to "me." All right? I'll say it again. In knowing God delights in serving with me. That brings peace. It's powerful peace. It's a strong peace. It's a confident peace. So let's respond to God today. Experience the peace of knowing God saved you from an eternal hell. And thank God for loving you and delighting and working with you, that He always has more in store. Something new and exciting to experience. Father, we love you. We thank you today for this opportunity. Lord, to be leaning in your arms, in your yoke, if you will, God, and just to be in service with you. And knowing how good that is. Oh, it's hard sometimes, but Lord, there's always something good you have in store. It's always good to lean in your arms. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to respond.